Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
G'day and welcome to the Aussie Pastor Live, right here on Faith FM.
G'day. My name is Lloyd Grolleman. I'm the Aussie Pastor and I'm coming to you today from, and live, very live, from Hopetoun in West Australia, down in the southwest corner of this beautiful state as I wind my way home from a wonderful big camp in Perth. Hunty, welcome to the program.
Thank you, mate. Good to be here. Thank you, listeners, for joining us.
We're so glad you're here. Where is Hopetoun?
Hopetoun, well, it's on the coast.
Southwest. I said it's in the southwest, but can you be more accurate?
No, I can't. From where I'm sitting in my tent, I can't really see the beach.
The beaches are beautiful. They're white sand, crystal blue water. This state's something, isn't it, mate?
Mate, it's really pretty, especially the coast.
I only have one complaint. Well, actually, before I get into that complaint, mate, I love everywhere. I love the deserts in West Australia. I love the coast in West Australia. Everything is beautiful over here in this big, big red country of ours. Hey, my complaint.
Yes, what's your complaint?
When we go home, we're camping.
That's right, we're in tents, yep.
I don't mind that, except we just can't get the pegs in the ground.
Well, it's rock, that's why.
It is. It's incredible, isn't it?
We used my battery drill yesterday in low range.
Yep.
And we struggled to get pegs in the dirt so hard.
Okay. Well, wherever you are, we're glad you're here.
Yeah.
Welcome. Hunty and I are on our way home to Sydney from Perth. We're shooting television. You're going to see that. How long until that'll come out? A month or two?
Yeah, hopefully as soon as we get home.
Well, it's not going to be that quick because you're going to have to edit it up.
Well, the first episode, maybe.
Not so sure. I reckon, what is it now? April, yeah. End of May.
Yeah, okay.
Very I reckon good. You'll start to see it. Hey, this day in history, April 9. Some big things happening, mate. 1784, the US Congress, and this is big. In 1784, the US Congress and King George III signed the Treaty of Paris, ending the Revolutionary War with the USA.
Yeah.
So Britain and England were at war in the Revolutionary War, where America got her independence. They signed a treaty on this day, and it really did end it all, and America was on her own. 1860, I thought you'd find this interesting, first recorded voice in history on a, have you ever heard of this, a phonautograph.
I wonder what that is. Is that one of
those P-H-O-N, okay, yep. P-H-O-N, yep. A-U-T-O-G-R-A-P-H.
Could that be one of those wax discs? I don't know.
I'm wondering. Well, it's a first recorded voice ever by a man, Edward Martinville. I think he was French. 1918. Let's see how good you are, Hunty, because this is in your area.
Here we go.
Jern Utzon's birthday. I would normally put this in birthdays, but it's so important, I put it in our main what happened on this day.
You mean Jern Utzon, the guy who did the Opera House?
Very good. I said it wrong too. That dude designed the Opera House and he did a fantastic job. He died in 2008, but today is his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Well, he can't hear.
Oh.
He's not here anymore. This is April 9, 2024. He was gone 16 years ago. 1945, this is a big one for me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, heard of him?
Nope.
Lutheran pastor and anti-Nazi dissident. He was executed on this day in 1945 by the Nazis just before the Allies got there to liberate Germany. He was a German hero, that bloke. Was he German? Born? I think he was. German, Dutch. I'll come back on that. 1967. I don't know whether this is a good one or not, Hunty. The first 737 flies.
Cool. That was the start of, you know, good, cheap, high-capacity planes.
I don't like them. Too many crashes in the different models through the years, too.
You know, it's safer than a bus.
Still don't like them.
Safer than a train.
Those 737s
safer
go
than
down.
Walking around in Sydney.
Man, the new one, the very latest, two of them went down the last couple of years. One in Indonesia and...
I'll tell you something. Do you know 10 people a year die in America from vending machines falling on them?
Yeah, what's that got to do with 737s?
Well, that's still more people than die in plane crashes.
No, far more than 10 die in plane crashes every year.
Well, those large planes that you're talking about, sure, we lose a few Cessnas.
1991, Georgia declares independence from the Soviet Union. Georgia, a little satellite country of the Soviet Union. It's a country within its nation, within its own right. Now, very much drifted toward the West and a part of NATO, which I think is one of those things that's upset Putin and Russia. He doesn't seem that hard to upset. 2003, Baghdad fell to US forces. I don't know whether that was a good thing or not, mate.
Mm.
2005, on this day, King Charles' wedding and anniversary to Queen Camilla. That's got to be a big day for them, hasn't it?
For sure.
And in 2017, I don't know whether you've ever heard of this one, Dr. David Dow dragged kicking and screaming off United Airlines flight in the United States of America because it was overbooked. Do you remember this?
Vaguely.
He was a doctor.
Vaguely.
Yeah. Do you know how much he got in compensation for that?
Oh, surprise me.
$40 million.
I mean, that does surprise me.
Yeah, yeah. And that was kind of the end of American Airlines. Excuse me, mate.
No worries. I'd mute you, but...
Yeah, no. That was the end. Sorry about that. That was the end of American Airlines just wantonly dragging people off their planes without warning and without, you know, offer a compensation. I think you've been offered compensation a few times over there.
Yeah, many times in America. They'd say, this plane's full. Who wants to go to the next plane? And we'll give you $100.
Did you ever take it?
Always. Unless I had an appointment I had to be at, I'd always...
So you take the money. Sometimes they put you in a five-star hotel for the night,
and
is that right?
What else? Sometimes you got business class on the next flight.
So if you weren't rushing, you were more than happy to do
that? More than happy to take their money, yep.
Okay, birthdays, 1926, Hugh Hefner. He's a guy... Look, he died at 91. Playboy founder. I don't think he's much of a guy. 1929, this was a good man, Fred Hollows.
I love Fred.
Aussie eye doctor. Did you know that he's actually Kiwi?
Oh...
He died in 1993 when he was 60.
All they good guys.
60. Well, we took him. We're happy to take the Kiwis and claim them as ours, especially when they do great things like Fred Hollows. He was an eye doctor. Where did he go in Africa? Was it Eritrea? I think it was. Eritrea, where he gave sight back to. A lot of it was just simple eye operations that he was doing. And that the Fred Hollows Foundation, it's going on to this day. 1990, Kristen Stewart's birthday. You know who she is?
Yes, yeah, she's the tall blonde lady from the Third Rock show.
No, from the Twilight series.
Oh, I know, from Third Rock.
I don't think she was on Third Rock.
Ooh.
I think you got the wrong one,
guess
mate.
Guess who's Googling in the next song.
Yeah, I'm sure you will be. Deaths, 2017. This is a big one for me. John Clark, ever heard of him? Fred Dagg from New Zealand, Clark and Dawes in Australia. He was a satirist, a humorist, really, really funny. Well, he died this day, 2017, at the age of 69. And I think the world lost a funny man and a good man in that guy. I always liked him. Special days, Hunty.
Yes.
National Mature Women's Days. Where do they get this one? I say it every week. It's National Mature Women's Day. I don't know any woman who's going to celebrate. I might get into trouble with this. National Mature Women's Day.
No.
Would your wife celebrate that?
She wouldn't want to.
No, I don't.
She goes kicking and screaming to every birthday.
Well, that's it. Just as well you're away on holiday. I was going to say on holidays. You're not on holiday.
No, just Google Kristen Stewart.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm way off.
Yeah, of course. Way, way, way off. Actually, you've been having a bad run on this trip. He's been missing a few things. I think it's because he's away from home. He's missing his wife. And Jackie, if you're listening, you know something? Hunty just doesn't function well without you. He doesn't. He's struggling. He's battling. He's forgetting things. He's doing other things which are well, I might mention later. So it's National Mature Women's Day. It's National Equal Pay Day. It's Be Kind to Lawyers Day.
Be kind to lawyers.
It's National Alcohol...
My daughter-in-law's a lawyer, so I agree with that.
It's National Alcohol Awareness Month.
That's a good idea.
Mm. And the health tip today, I thought these were good. Did you know that the body can produce enough heat in half an hour to boil water?
Yeah, my body puts out between 300 and 600 watts of heat.
Oh, he's a hunty, honestly. We're on this trip, us two are on different thermostats. I look over and he's sweating and he's boiling hot and I'm freezing cold with a jumper and a jacket. We just can't get it right, can so we, mate?
You wouldn't be exaggerating there, would you, bud?
No. No, you run hot. If you were a car, you'd be running real hot.
And let me tell you the truth, listeners. We're running the car at about 22 degrees, which is nice.
Oh, try 16.
I've got the mute button in my tent, you know. Hey, listeners, guess what? If you want to see Lloyd and I sitting in our tents doing this radio show, I poked a picture up on the Aussie Pastor Facebook page earlier.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Okay.
So those who don't believe we're sitting in tents in the middle of nowhere using Elon Musk's Starlink to do this program, you can go to the Aussie Pastor Facebook page for a laugh.
I have no idea how much time we have left in this segment.
Not running your clock, huh?
Well, I am, because I'm on the phone and I'm using the phone for my notes.
90 seconds.
Oh, okay, better get going. Owning a dog reduces heart disease. Did you know that?
No, but it sounds quite fancy.
This is health tips. Your nose remembers 50,000 smells. Did you know that?
I did not.
And here's a tip. You had to wait a while today.
I did.
Laughter decreases pain and releases endorphins.
Yeah, know that. That's a ripper.
Word of the day. Here we go, Hunty. I've been waiting for this. Smithereens.
Oh, yeah, love that.
What's it mean?
Many, many small pieces.
To annihilate, smash, disintegrate. The car was smashed to smithereens when it was rear-ended by the truck. And my one, in the Western Australian desert, Hunty smashed our drone to smithereens.
Here we go.
He was always going to come.
It was. So this is what was happening. I was flying along happily yesterday, getting a great view of the car, up at least 30 metres, and then I thought, I'll just come down for a little closer shot.
Did I warn you?
Lloyd said, are you high enough? I looked at the gauge and I said, well, I'm at least 5 metres above anything that could possibly be on the road. And then we feed this great big downgust through our little drone into the oncoming path of a Ford Ranger towing a caravan. And now...
We hit the Ranger, eh?
Yes, I've got photos just, that I might put on.
Just grazed it, really. Was it a full-on hit, or...?
It just grazed the roof, but up into the roof.
But for our little drone, which is how big?
Hundreds of pieces. 249 grams, that tiny drone.
And how long will it be, you know?
It's not big.
It's the size 10, of your hand. 10,
yeah, exactly. It's no more.
And just smashed the smithereens. But just before we left, this is how good God is. Hunty wanted to, what did you want to do to it?
Insure it. So I want to always insure computers and everything we buy.
Do you have much success with me in insurance?
No, God's got this. Don't insure it. It's a waste of money. But on this particular occasion, when I said, can I insure the drone? The grolly said,
Go for it.
And so now we're sitting here like Cheshire Cats thinking, come in, Spinner. Thank you for the insurance. Yep. We'll have a new drone.
Very grateful. Right, time's up.
It is.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
You're introducing the song, Hunty, because I don't even know what it is.
Right. Okay, well, this is from one of your favourite places, Fountainville Academy.
Canada,
yes. These are the Adventist kids. Tell us about Fountainville.
Very famous school, music, Adventist school, high school, secondary school, really into music, very spiritual. If I had the money, I would have sent my own boy there. Just a wonderful place. And this is one of their beautiful songs.
It's entitled Abide With Me.
I need the
That was a buy with me by Fountainville Academy. And now it's time for the news.
Yeah, Hunty's actually, I'm the co-host today, Hunty. You're the host.
Got it.
I'm running along doing my best because I'm running blind in another tent. Hunty's got everything. I don't even have my computer here. Only thing I have here is my little phone.
That's it.
It just, yeah. Hey, news today. What do you think of this Qantas new freaking fly program?
Oh, I didn't hear about that. What's that?
Haven't you read the news things I sent you? You haven't, have you? So I'm on my own.
Huh? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
So I'm on my own.
No, not at all.
Let me tell you about the Qantas frequent flyer program.
Oh, you're not going to like this.
What?
You didn't send it to me.
Yeah, I did. It went through when I sent that thing to you last night on notes, and I said, can you read this? Oh, and you put it on your desktop.
Oh, no, it's your notes.
And you said, yes. Yes. Right. Good.
Good.
Gives me some joy.
I just took another dip.
I'm telling you, Jackie, Hunty's struggling without you here. I'm thinking very seriously that we fly you out so that you can do the rest of the trip with us because we're having a battle. Poor old Hunty. It's all right, mate. You're headed to 70, and it gets like this, mate, in old age. Here's the thing with the Qantas Frequent Flyer program. They have brought in a lot more seats. Okay, fair enough. Well done. I'm going to clap. If you're listening, if the Qantas CEO is listening, if she's listening, yep, clap, clap. Well done. Because I tell you what, trying to get a Qantas freaking flyer flight before you made these changes is almost impossible. You'd sooner get a cheap fare to the Antarctic and back with another airline than you'd get a frequent flyer flight honoured by Qantas. It was that hard, Hunty.
Correct. They were never available when you wanted them.
They are never available. So there's thousands and thousands of new flights available on Qantas Frequent Flyer. But this is where I really, when I read it, I'm going, yeah, clap, clap, wonderful one. But this is where it all turned for me. And I got to tell you, Qantas CEO, you lost me. They got more flights, but guess what? There are a lot more points.
More points.
That's to get right. them. So come on, guys. Qantas is trying to rebuild its reputation. I don't know. Surely you give more flights and leave the points as they are. Why should we pay more points, Hunty, for more flights? Flights that they should have had available anyway if their frequent flyer point program was viable.
Every CEO is looking for ways to make themselves look good to get a fatter paycheck.
And make more money for the company, which I get.
Yeah, for the shareholders.
Which I get.
So let's just have a good old bash of the consumer.
Look, I'm very sad, but anyway.
Disappointed me too.
This second story, a man stands his ground. It's a story of a guy who is in one of those, you know how you can have those duplexes?
Yep.
And this big developer comes in and wants to build this huge building. That's okay. So they bought one side of the duplex, they couldn't buy the other. And he refused to sell it. Well, he refused to sell it because he didn't like the price. And they wouldn't up the price. So here's this huge, tall building right next to this half a duplex because the other half was destroyed, you know, was bulldozed down. And he's sitting there in his half a house, and it's just hilarious. And it just goes to show how some people can stand their ground if they choose to.
I've got a couple for you.
Yeah.
In China, there's lots of houses in the middle of freeways because they refuse to sell and the government refuses to go around them. So they build the freeway right to their door and bring the traffic right past. And I tell you another one, and this is in Thornley, near my home in Sydney. There was one guy who wouldn't sell to the big shopping centre at Thornley on the corner of Commonar Parkway and Pennant Hills Road. He refused. He wanted an insane amount of money, so they built it around him, and then he couldn't sell it.
He did sell it in the end, though.
He did sell it in the end
for a lot of money, to
a real estate agent,
and for a lot of money too.
But he did have to suffer construction for many years, right on his fence.
Yeah, and if you have construction, it's pretty hard.
It is.
I've had that. What about this one last story, accelerated aging linked to cancer risk in young adults? In other words, what's happening is because of lifestyle.
Yes.
Because of pressure and stresses and because of diet and exercise.
Yes.
Young people are aging today much faster than their parents, that's you and me.
That's right.
Or their grandparents. In fact, this is the first generation they think will die younger than their parents, who is us. So saying we'll live longer than the millennials.
A couple of the key markers that I've already noticed.
Yep.
Any young kids that are vaping, that's giving you incredibly accelerated aging. And also kids that were brought up as millennial kids who ate a lot of chicken nuggets before they pulled all the preservatives out of them.
Well, you're in trouble.
I don't eat chicken nuggets.
Oh, hunty.
You've never seen me eat one chicken nugget.
It's just dirty. Oh. I was going to call him the Chicken King, but I better not do that on Faith FM radio. Actually, the truth is, I don't see you eating chicken ever.
Thank you, to be honest. Thank you.
Mm, that's all right. So look, when you see
this, I keep my mouth closed.
No, it's true. You don't.
We got 5 minutes left. We had a news.
Yeah, we're out of time.
Yeah, well, but
before we go, I just want to say this. So if you are living a lifestyle where you're not watching carefully what you eat, and people say, well, what should you eat? Well, I can tell you pretty quickly. I don't do it always, but I can tell you: fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables, and you know what the other one is, Hunty?
What is it?
Fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables. There's one other, and it's really important.
Bread.
Legumes.
Legumes.
Did you say bread?
I said bread.
Oh, hunty. Fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables.
Well, I know that a banana
and legumes
and a piece of bread is almost all the nutrition you need.
Bread is processed. Bananas made by God. I'll take the banana every day.
But apparently the bread fills in the missing ingredients that you need for a
But if you're on fruits, diet. Grains, nuts, vegetables and legumes, and if you are exercising, if you are getting good sleep and drinking plenty of water, the chances are you'll live a pretty decent life. Start to break some of those rules, fall down in one or more of those areas, and you're going to struggle. So there you go, Hunty. That's the news with no war. No horrific trauma. Just an ordinary news story today, which I reckon while we're on the road is not a bad thing. What do you think?
I think, would you like to pray to that in the program?
Did you not pray?
I have not.
I'm going to let you, because I'll pray to finish.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for this awesome opportunity on Faith FM. Lord, thank you for all of our listeners who are looking and searching for you. Lord, please help them to find you. Please get close to them. Wrap your loving arms around them, Lord, I pray. And show them that you are real. So to all of our listeners, if you're wanting a relationship with Jesus, right now is a chance to say, please, Lord, come into my life. Amen.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
Alrighty, this next song, would you believe I chose?
Let me make a statement here. While we're on, I think I made it last week, while we're on the road, Hunty chooses all the music.
But I have to go to His Majesty for them to be approved.
That's not true.
So I have presented my offerings to the boss, and I have had permission for this Gaither song. It's a ripper.
Oh, listen to it.
It's called Something Beautiful.
Something beautiful. Something. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. If there ever were dreams that were lofty and noble, they were my dreams at the start. And hopes for life's best were the hopes that I harbored down deep in my heart. But my dreams turned to ashes and my castles all crumbled. My fortune turned to loss, so I wrapped it all in the rags of my life and laid it at the cross. Something beautiful, something good. Something beautiful. of my
nice song, Hunty.
Absolutely.
I like that. While I was in Western Australia, I preached over the Easter long weekend, or presented, 13 times. Five of them were in a tent called the Big Tent. On the Saturday, which is for us Adventists the Sabbath, there's 4,100 or 500 people on that campground all meeting together. There's about 1,000 maybe...
Mm-hmm.
1,200 in the Big Tent, and we're all over having a wonderful time of fellowship. And I preached this sermon, which is probably for me the most important sermon I preached. This is the one, isn't it, Hunty, on being born again.
How to overcome.
Oh.
And you know what you didn't, say? Additional to all the preaching and seminars and worships you did, you did 3 masterclasses.
I counted that in the 13.
Oh, and 2 Faith FM programs? Okay.
Yeah, I counted all that. Yeah, so here we go. See what you think.
Sometimes when I preach, I feel like I'm on a pirate ship and about to go out on the plank and be sacrificed. It's a bit daunting, to be honest, because I am, I don't want to say just a church pastor, because I think church pastors are at the very front line of the work with the church, and they're important. But I am just a church pastor, and I'm very much not used to big crowds, preaching to big crowds like this. And it is the exception to my ministry. I don't get an opportunity to do it very much, and I try to remember what it was like when I sat in the audience. And what I'm thinking today, if I was sitting in this audience, I'd be thinking to myself, this big fat boy from the east will not be preaching a long sermon, because it's hot. But your heat's better than our heat back east. It doesn't seem to have quite as much humidity. Does that surprise you for me to say that? Yeah. Is it true that the heat over here is drier? It is. So we better move over here, Liska. I would move to Western Australia. And people say, oh, you go to Western Australia and they're a completely different race of people. Well, they say the same about us Queenslanders. Do you know that? Because there's a disease in New South Wales and Victoria. They think they're the only Australians in the country. But they're not. And I would like to say that I think Western Australia with Queensland, we are the cream of the crop. Amen? They don't get better than us. Without us, they've got no minerals. In fact, Australia would be broke if it wasn't for us. Hallelujah, amen. You know what? I thank God for the Western Australians, because you're lifting the rest of us up and giving us a pretty good lifestyle in this country. Thank you. Keep mining and keep sending the money back east. We love you. It is good to be here. And despite what they say back east, I want to assure you that in my experience, West Australians are Australians. We're pretty much the same sort of people right across this great big red dusty country of ours. Amen? And we are blessed to be Australians. It is a difficult world. It is a hard world. But God has blessed us with this country. I look at the way we behave sometimes and I wonder why we've got that blessing. But we are the most blessed of people, aren't we? And this is still, even though we're living in end times, this is still a fabulous country to be a part of. And whenever I go overseas, which is incidentally not that much, but when I do, I come back and I can almost smell the gum trees as I come out of that plane door. And I'm glad to be home. And I might be a long, long way from where I live, but I'm in my country, in my home, and I feel it. Australia. I want to pray, and then I want to talk to you today about how to overcome addictive, habitual sin. I get claustrophobic. Anyone else get claustrophobic here? I'm actually pretty badly claustrophobic. The first time I realized I was claustrophobic, I was about 17 years of age. We're out at a youth camp. They had these portable toilets, and one of my mates locked me in it. And I, much to the disgust of the youth director, who was my father, I destroyed that toilet in a panic to get out. I actually destroyed it. And it was a higher toilet. It took me 6 months to pay that toilet off. I was in a plane coming back from Jordan to Qatar. Just a little, I think it must have been about a, it was smaller than a 737. And I come from a multicultural church, so don't get me wrong when I say this, but we had two Filipino flight attendants, and those Filipinos, and I know this from my own church because the Indonesians, I'm married to one of them, they work on a different temperature scale than us. And they decided in the plane to turn the temperature up. And do you know what happens when you're in a plane and you're claustrophobic and they make it hot? You feel panicky. And usually I never speak out. But eventually I called one of them over and I said, what's happening in this plane? She said, what do you mean? She said, it's too hot. She said, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. She said, it's not. I said, call the boss. I never do this. We called the boss over and they went and turned it down and the temperature came down again because I was getting claustrophobic. Went to sleep, woke up. You wouldn't believe it. They'd gone and turned it up again. I said, call the pilot. I want to make a complaint. Well, I turned it up again and left it up. But the fact is I'm claustrophobic, but I never, ever feel more claustrophobic, more hemmed in, and more panicky when I get stuck in a sin, in a habit, and I've been there, in an addiction that I cannot escape. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a good Adventist Christian. I'm a pastor. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to live what I preach and I teach, but I'm caught in an addictive sin I can't escape. It makes me panicky. And it's taken me quite a long time in my life to work out how to escape habitual addictive sin. And a lot of people who worship the Lord come to our churches, never ever escape. And it's a disaster. We get caught in prisons. We get caught in dungeons. We're chained so tightly. We want to get away and we just can't. Well, I'll guarantee you this. Two things. I'm going to try and preach pretty quick today because of the heat. Second thing is, I want to guarantee you this. If you listen and you leave this tent listening, there's not a sin that you're caught in today you won't be able, praise God, to escape, because Jesus is the God of freedom. And we've lost that truth in Christianity. Jesus will free us from habitual addictive sin. If you are caught in LGBTIQ, don't you believe the lie that that's your identity. It's not. It's your addiction. If you're caught in pornography, it's your addiction. If you're caught being a liar, if you're caught being dishonest, a multitude of different sins. If you're caught in adultery or fornication and you can't get out, it's not your identity. It's not who you are. This sin is a parasite that grabs a hold of us, and it has, as children of God, it has no right on our lives. And today I'm going to share with you, and I'm really going further on from where we've been on this journey. I'm going to share with you how to escape it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the beautiful music this morning, for the worship. It was glorious. It was a touch of heaven. And now I come before you unworthy, a sinner, but a saved one, Lord, and one who has experienced the power of what I'm going to speak about. And I pray that you'll come through this unworthy man, through your Holy Spirit, and that you'll touch the hearts and the lives and the minds, open the ears and the eyes, I pray, Lord, of the people in this tent. And may they, if they've come in here locked in chains, oh Lord, I know what that's like, may they leave this place in freedom, is my prayer in your name. Amen. There was an old Indian chief, and he was talking to two of his young warriors. You might have heard this story. And as he spoke to his warriors, he was educating them. He said, you know, there are two wolves in your lives. One's a good wolf and one's a bad wolf. And both these wolves, go at you and try to take you over and try to dominate you and try to be in charge of your life. One of the young warriors listening to the chief said, which wolf wins? And the chief looked at him and he said, whichever wolf you feed. Now, I wish I could say overcoming sin is that easy. And I'm talking about habitual, addictive sin, the sins that get a hold of you, the sins that beset you, the sins you can't escape. Now, if you think that you haven't got an addiction in your life and you haven't got a sin that you can't overcome, then think of your life for a moment. Think of the sins that you have got in your life that you're battling with. Then try and give it up. And if you're in a sin that's been in your life for weeks and months and years and you can't give it up, then you're in a habitual, addictive sin. And I don't want you to come too hard down on yourself, because we live in a nation, we live in a world full of people caught in habitual, addictive sin. I'm going to say something that I rarely say, but I reckon that if you're not in a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ, you are probably living with habitual, addictive sin somewhere in your life. The only way I've ever seen people to escape habitual addictive sin is to be in a born-again relationship with Jesus. It includes Bible study. It includes prayer. And so you can be in Bible study, feeding the good wolf. You can be in daily Bible study, feeding the good wolf. You can be in prayer, feeding the good wolf. So you can be in daily Bible study and prayer, and yet you can still be falling into addictive sin and not being able to overcome it. And it's horrendous. I've been a pastor for 35 years. There are two types of people who survive in Adventism. There are those who find the truth about what I'm about to share today. And they know the power of Jesus in their lives. But then there are those Adventists who never find this truth. And they're the ones, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you don't want on your board. Because they're going to give you trouble. Because they're going to hear the pastor preaching. They're going to see the speakers come into the tent during big camps and the big celebrations. And they're going to see everybody talking about the power of God. And they're going to go, this is great, but I've never experienced it. And the older you get, and I'm 60, I know what I'm talking about. The older you get, the less you experience the power of God, the more resentful and the more angry you become. Until I'm telling you, you don't want that person on your board. And I've had a few. And it's the saddest, saddest thing when you see an Adventist getting old like I am and still not knowing the power of God. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful beyond measure. That's where we started this journey. We get into our Bible study. We're in the presence of Jesus. Our heart, that deceitful heart beyond measure, is changing. We get into our prayer. Bible study prayer. That deceitful heart, as you're spending time with Jesus, is changing. But if you are with the Holy Spirit long enough, and it takes about 3 hours, He's going to come to you and start to convict you. And if He convicts you of something and you can't overcome it, it's the most devastating experience you can have. I grew up playing rugby union in New Zealand. Then I came to Australia and switched to rugby league. I'm Australian, by the way, not New Zealander. My dad was a missionary over there. I played cricket. I played tennis. And both my brother and I went to A-grade squash in Brisbane. I know that's hard to believe today, but I am telling you the truth. I was telling people the other night, just to put myself in a better light, I've actually lost 22 kilograms in the last 12 months. I've gone from almost 140 kilograms, I went down to 113, had operation on this knee, gone back up to 116, 118, but I'll tell you, by the end of this year, God willing, I'm going to be looking like your president, Steve. Well, that's a lot better than me. One thing I learned about sport is when you're playing sport, you play AFL over here. You know, I don't even know how many people are on an AFL team. That's how much interest I got in that game. This is the most boring game. Am I allowed to say that here? It's horrendous. It's just so higgledy-piggledy. It's got no... I won't be able to finish this sermon if I keep that up. This is what I learned about sport. When you're playing sport, you target your opposition's weakness. So if we're playing rugby league and we've got a winger who can't catch the high ball, and we've had this in games, coach would say, target that winger all day for high ball, and we would, and we'd usually win the game. If you're playing squash and you've got a guy that's no good on the forehand, or tennis and you've got a guy who's no good on the backhand, you're going to target that weakness. If you've got it playing cricket and you've got a guy who can't play spin and he's their top batsman, well, the moment he comes on the pitch, you're going to start bringing a spinner on to play the weakness of that player. And that's how the devil works with you. He studies you. Don't underestimate your importance. Jesus died for you. You matter. And you matter to him and you matter to Satan. Satan doesn't care for you, he hates you, but he wants you on your side, on his side, because he wants to destroy you and take you out. And there's nothing more will destroy you and take you out than unresolved sin in your life. I'm not a sinless perfectionist, by the way. I believe in the Jesus the Savior, that we're saved through his blood alone. Amen? But when we have a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit gets inside of us, he wants to clean us out and he begins to convict us with these addictive sins we have in our lives. And if you're listening to Satan, if you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you don't know, you haven't got the weapons to overcome these sins, you're in big, big trouble. And he's targeting your weakness. Now look at me, what weakness have I got? Someone's rude enough to say food. Appetite has been the greatest battle, can I say this, of my life. Literally every single sin has been thrown at me by the devil. But the hardest of all is appetite. So I turn up to this camp on Wednesday night. I thought, I'm going to go and stay in our room. They've said we could. I got into our room and there's two packet of Easter eggs. What's going on? So I consumed. I inhaled one packet in about 2 minutes. Then I realised my wife was coming that night. And she's my guardian angel. So I picked the packet up, make sure there's no leftovers and put it in the bin. She'd never know. God is a good God, because somewhere I missed a tiny little piece of an Easter egg and she caught me. And we laugh about that. But it is a horrendous battle of mine that I have been actively fighting now since for a year, and I can even tell you 4 months that the Holy Spirit's been on me about it. And I find it very difficult, but I am getting the victory when I fight. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, what does it say? The devil is like a roaring lion, seeking what? Whom he can devour. I was in South Africa. I was in Kruger National Park. I was driving a car and I saw a lioness take a zebra down. I thought, because I'm in the car, I think I'm going to drive right up to her. She didn't like that one bit. You know, they've got those yellow eyes with those black slits. And if you ever, she was just a lioness by herself, but she was a good sized one. And she had her tail and it was just flicking like that. I'm about a metre, 2 metres away from her in the car with the windows up and the air conditioning on, staying nice and cool. And I can tell you that she gave me a message. She said, get out and make my day. She looked at me and she said, that dude, he's a good snack before I finish this zebra off. The Bible knows when it's saying Satan is like a lion seeking who he can devour. I saw a dude on Facebook, it was on YouTube the other day, and he was at one of these lion parks. He had a great big hunk of meat that they'd obviously given him, and he was going to feed the lion. But to feed the lion, he had to throw the meat over the fence. Now, it looked a juicy piece. I'm a vegetarian, but it looked a juicy piece of meat. It was a great big piece. So he gets it, he throws it, and the lion is looking at him. Big male lion, you know, beautiful mane, big powerful boy. And the lion's looking at him because he's got this meat. He throws the meat over the fence. That lion never took his eye off that dude. He was not interested in the meat. He wanted to eat the man. And that's Satan. I mean, I don't want to talk too much about Satan today, but let's not kid him ourselves. He's studying us intensely, and he's throwing us temptations to our weaknesses. I don't know how you are going, but for me, it seems that the closer we get to the end of time, the more temptation Satan is throwing at me. Are you experiencing that? Man, I am 60 years of age, and Satan is throwing temptations at me that he first threw at me when I was 16. What's he doing? He's enraged. He knows his time is short, and he's trying to take me out. And he'll take you out too if he can. Anger, pornography, alcohol, selfishness, lying, dishonesty. Do you have an addictive sin in your life? Again, if you think so, if you don't think so, try and give one of those pet sins of yours up and see what happens. Sin starts off as a baby in our lives. And the more we practice it, the more it grows. And it gets bigger. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to you academically, my West Australian friends. I'm talking to you from my own hard, brutal, sad experience. You practice sin in your life. You don't take it on. It's not destroyed. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it totally consumes you and destroys your life. That's how it works. So it's very important. We're not overcoming sin to get to heaven. Come on, we get to heaven through the grace and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We're overcoming sin because, one, we want to be more like Jesus, but two, because the stuff is poisonous and toxic to us and it destroys and dismantles our lives. It's a disaster. Just go out there and have a look at what's happening in our community because of sin. And people want to look at us and they want to see from Christians that they can find freedom, and too often they're not. And I'll tell you what really is hurting the Christian church. It's when we go out there and we, not only do we not oppose sin, we celebrate it, embrace it and encompass it in the church. And it's a disaster for the church because the world doesn't want to see that from us. They want to see a people through Jesus have found freedom. That's what Jesus is about. Freedom, praise the Lord. So let's look at how we overcome sin. 2019, I went to Israel and Jordan. I went to Petra. Ever heard of Petra? If you're in Jordan, go there. Amazing. I went to Jerusalem. Loved Jerusalem. I loved Israel. I went to Galilee. I went to the desert. Between Jerusalem and Jericho. Jerusalem's up in the mountains. Jericho's down on the plains right beside the Dead Sea. But between Jerusalem and Jericho, I don't even know how far it is, 40, 50 K. There's this desert. And this is with the context of the short story I'm going to share with you now. I went out to this desert. There's nothing there. But this is where this story happens. And I'll tell you what, there wasn't a lot of times I was moved when I was in Israel. But when I went out of this desert, because I know what happened, I know what went down in this desert. When I went out there, I was moved. Because I thought to myself, I knew that it's right here that Jesus showed me how to escape the most deadly of habitual addictive sins. It's worth looking at this story, Matthew chapter 4. If you've got your Bible, let's have a look at it. Matthew chapter 4. And by the way, I think if you want to overcome habitual addictive sin, you start by spending time with Jesus. You get into your Bible, you're with Jesus. You get into your prayer life, you're with Jesus. Go to church. Man, what happened to us that we all of a sudden think that going to church is not important? Of course it is. When we go to church with we're with the people of God, they're encouraging us. Well, they should be encouraging us. They're there to support us as together we fight against these sins and we fight against Satan and we worship. Church is really important. You're in the presence of Jesus when you go to church. This is a time where the people of God should be flooding the churches. Not just, don't watch it online either. I mean, I'm an online preaching pastor. That's, online's nothing compared to the real thing. Amen? I mean, you go to church, be with people, sit next to them, look at them, celebrate with them, encourage each other, eat with each other. I mean, this is powerful stuff in these last days. So I believe if you're going to overcome habitual sin, first thing you do is get yourself into the presence of Jesus. Bible study, prayer, go into church, join a Bible study group, get around Jesus as much and in as many places as you can. But sometimes, and I'm not talking heresy here, sometimes that might not be quite enough and you're still struggling. Well, I'm going to give you a sword now that you can pull out and shove through the scaly heart of the devil. Matthew chapter 4, then Jesus, verse 1, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. And I always, I love to do this Bible study with people, and I stop there and I say, well, why was Jesus led into the desert? Why did he go into the desert? I wish this was a Sabbath school class. I mean, yell it out to me. Why did he go to the desert? To be tempted by the devil? Well, verse 2, for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. So let's stop right there. Why did Jesus go into the desert? I'll tell you why he went there. The primary reason Jesus went to the devil was not to confront Satan. It was not to take Satan out, not to defeat Satan or to beat Satan. Jesus went into the desert to show you how to defeat Satan with habitual addictive sin. Did you hear me? That's why that story's here. That's a primary reason this story's in the Bible. He goes in the desert and for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became hungry. How are you after 40 days and 40 nights? Some people say, Lord, you should go on that fast. 40 days, 40 nights, Lizzie, I'd be looking pretty good. That's a long time. How many of you do fasting? I actually do fasting and I know you don't believe me. I do. I sometimes do that 16-8 thing, you know, where you eat for 16 hours, flat. As hard as you can, and then, oh no, it's the other way. You eat for 8 hours as hard as you can, as much as you can, and then for 16 hours you don't eat anything. But at the end of the 8 hours, you're so full you don't need anything for 16 hours. I know that's not how it goes, so you can see why I've got a problem. I mean, 40 days, 40 nights, Jesus is on the verge of starvation. He's weak. And people say, well, why did he do that? And I get a whole lot of answers. Oh, to be more spiritual. Well, I don't think it makes you a whole lot more spiritual starving yourself to death. Oh, they'll say, well, and they just give me these different answers on why he did it. Well, I'll tell you why he did it, because he had to get weak. And why did Jesus have to get weak? Because Satan attacks you, not in your strengths, in your weaknesses. You can come into my house, and you can come in with a wallet full of money, cash. That's becoming more and more uncommon in Australia, isn't it? You can come in with let's say $2,000 cash. Bali's only 3 hours away. I could take the cash and get to Bali pretty quick from here. I am not going to take that cash because I do not have, praise God, a weakness to steal money from people. So Satan's not going to attack me with that. But you come into my house and leave a chocolate cake on the table and you can tell me that that chocolate cake is for your daughter's wedding in a few days and I can tell you you're going to come back and there's going to be a little piece taken out of that chocolate cake. We laugh, but you get the feeling of what I'm saying here. Satan attacks you in your weaknesses. Jesus starves himself for 40 days and 40 nights, so he's weak. So Jesus is weak now, exactly as you are. You with me? Watch this. During that time, verse 3, the devil came and said to him, this is a classic confrontation. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. So he hasn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil comes in and says, turn these stones into bread. Can Jesus do that? Ah, real easy. We can't, but he can. What's wrong with that? Why is that even a temptation? Okay, I've heard people say that. If you, yeah, there is that question there. But you know what? Satan knew he was Jesus, the Son of God, and Jesus knew he was the Son of God. So that's not a real big one, but I hear what you're saying, sister, and it's real enough, you know, point. But it's more than that. Jesus went to the desert. He gets weak to show you how to overcome temptation. To show you how you can do it with power available to you. If he had taken the stones and turned them into bread, he would have used his power. You get it? That's right. And he didn't do it. And here's the secret. But Jesus told him, verse 4, no, the scripture says, people, and he quotes the scripture text. You go down to verse 5, you have the second temptation. How did he respond? Verse 7, I want you to get this. This is how Jesus responds to the temptation. The scripture also says you must not. So in the first temptation, Jesus quotes scripture. In the second temptation, Jesus quotes scripture. And in verse 10, the third temptation, get out of here, and Satan, Jesus told him, for the scripture says. Do you see what's happening here? I'm trying to bring together what I've been sharing with you this week. Bible study is so important. I said last night, big call, that if you're not in daily Bible study morning and night, there'll be some here who'll disagree with me, that's okay. But if you're not doing that, you're not going to heaven. And the reason you're not going to heaven is not because Bible study gets you to heaven, it's because Bible study puts you into the presence of Jesus who gets you there. You've got to be in Bible study day and night. You need to do this in the times we're in. You need to be in prayer. But we need to be able to use our Bible study and our prayer in powerful, practical ways to defeat Satan. And Jesus tempted three times in the desert, and three times he quotes scripture to the devil. So how's he fighting him? What is Jesus showing us here? He's saying, if you're under temptation, use the Bible as a sword to get the victory. How does that work? Well, I get up in the morning. I'm almost finished, believe it or not, today. So I'm trying to keep... Have I been going long, Liz? 50 minutes? Yep, she's saying yes. She's hot. This is how it works. I get up in the morning, I give my heart to Jesus. And by the way, tomorrow night I'm going to talk to you people about the most important subject, even more important than this. But at the moment, this is where we're at as we build our house. We've got Bible study brick down, we've got prayer brick down. Now we're putting the overcoming brick down. And this is what I do. Lord Jesus, I have woken up this morning. I just want to tell you I am your man. I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to come into my life. And today, as I give my life to you, protect me from evil. I've got a particular problem with appetite. I've asked the Lord to protect me from evil. I get up, I go to the fridge, it is assaulting me from the beginning because I want to have four pieces of toast lathered in butter with scrambled egg made from cream. But what I need to have is porridge made on water with a banana in it. This might seem a simple, humorous thing, but for me, it's the battle of the ages. And I'm in the kitchen, and I go to take the eggs out. Not there's anything wrong with eggs, but there is if you're having too many of them and they're cooked in butter and on bread lathered in butter. I love bread and butter. You can probably get the feel of that. So the temptation's on. I pull the eggs out, and I've asked the Holy Spirit to be inside of me. Now, this is simple illustration. I could use far more sinister things in my life, but I want to expose myself, like most of us don't, too much in front of a large congregation. So I'm using a simple illustration. I pull the eggs out. The Holy Spirit says, Lloyd. I go, ah. Oh. I take the eggs over. Holy Spirit's, Lloyd. Ah. Oh. And I'm about to crack it on the fry pan, and I have three power texts. Only three. The first one is my go-to text all the time, Romans 8:31. I can do all things through Christ. No, that's Philippians 4:13. Romans 8:31. If God is for me, who's against me? And I pray it. So I didn't pray it the other night with the Easter eggs, Liska, sorry. I pray it. If God's for me, I don't quote it to the devil like Jesus did. I don't talk to Satan. I only talk to Jesus. Lord, if you're for me, who can be against me? And if I'm still feeling the tension, Lord, I can do all things through you, Jesus, who strengthens me. Lord, no temptation has come to me except which is common to man. But with the temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, God will make a way of escape. I'm praying these power texts. And the moment I begin to pray the power text, I've pulled my sword out and I'm shoving it through the scaly face, scaly heart of the demon. And I put the lid on the eggs and I put it back in the fridge and I eat porridge and water and a banana for breakfast. But I've just had a victory, do you understand? And it might not seem a big one, but it's a huge victory. This is how I work, though, and it's how temptation works. I can eat the porridge and go, man, gosh, I'm still hungry. And I'll go back to the fridge. You can see why I'm where I'm at. To get the eggs out. And I go right through that experience again. Let me take it on to things that are more sinister. Lying. Pornography, the bane of literally every single man who's ever been born and breathes and lives on the planet today, who has blood pulsating through his veins. It's how we're made, it's how we're designed, it's the way God has directed we work, but not in the ways that pornography leads us. And you're on the computer and you make a decision. The Lord Jesus comes to you. You listen to the Holy Spirit. You pray the power text. You will have the victory. Is it a pleasant experience to be at war like this? No. We kind of think it should be a pleasant. Where do we get this idea that overcoming sin should be pleasant, not a struggle and not a... It's awful. It's exhausting. You're in the presence of demons, but you've got God there with you through the Holy Spirit. But there is a battle being waged for your soul, and it's exhausting. And sometimes people get exhausted and give up. You know what this is like, and you go and do the sin just to get rid of the temptation so you can go through the rest of your day. Amen. Isn't that how it works? You can't do that. You've got to fight. And every time the devil comes to you, you've got to keep fighting. And I have found temptation that the devil will come to me almost like a machine gun. Boom, 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 boom. I've been under temptation for an entire day with the devil just crashing into my life, smashing into my mind. And I am just repeating almost constantly in prayer these power texts. And I stab him with the sword and he goes away for a little while. And then he comes back again and I'm out with the Bible and stabbing him again with the sword. It's exhausting, but I'm fighting with Jesus for my life. And if you're fighting with Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit for your life, you're gonna have the victory. You can't stop the devil coming to you and tempting you. You can't stop him hitting you in your weaknesses, but you can pull the power text out. You can release your sword from the scabbard and you can stab him in the heart and force him to leave. You see, the devil cannot stay when you are quoting scripture in prayer to God. Every time you quote the scripture, he has to leave. He'll come back. He may come back quickly. That's fine. Go through exactly the same process with your Lord again. You're alive. Praise God you're alive and you're fighting. And you will have the victory. I close with this and then a story. At the end of this little scripture, this story, verse 11 says, "Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus." You're under attack by Satan. You're fighting. It can be relentless. It's difficult. But there will come a time in God's time. It could be a short time. It could be a longer time. Whatever it is, it's in God's time where Jesus will step in and he'll say to the devil, "Stop and get out." And the temptation recedes. The demon has left the room. You know what you've just done? You've got a monster in your life that's that big. You've fought the fight and the monster is now that big. You've starved it. Do you get what I'm saying? It never had the victory. For some of you, for the first time in your life, you won't be growing the monster. You'll be starving it. And each time Satan comes at you and you win the victory over the devil through the power of the Holy Spirit, the monster gets smaller and smaller and smaller until the monster is completely, through the power of the Holy Spirit, starved from your life, and you have final victory over that weakness. Amen? I heard people say, once an adulterer, always an adulterer. You heard that? That's not true. Caught in LGBTIQ, always going to be in LGBTIQ. That's not true. Caught in trans, always going to be trans. Not true. Caught in fornication, always going to be a fornicator. Not true. Caught in lying, caught in stealing, caught in dishonesty, always going to be like that. Not true, not true, not true. Jesus came to save us from our sins on the cross. And then he sent the Holy Spirit down to us to take us out of those sins. And if you use this approach of Jesus in your life, together with your Bible study and your prayer, you're getting to church, Bible study groups, being in the presence of Jesus, even in the presence of Jesus as much as you can, and you use this approach, you will have the victory. And if you have a defeat, don't stay down in the mud and the dirt for too long. In fact, instantly, get up and start fighting again. A young couple came to me. Two more stories. I'm almost done. A young couple came to me when I first started my ministry. And they had just fallen into sin and spent the night with each other. I don't know why they came to me so quickly. Probably a good thing. They came to me and they said, we've done this. And the guy said, I feel so ashamed. Because as soon as we participated in that act, we both got down on our knees and repented. What a stupid thing that was to do, he said. I said, no, it was not. It was exactly the right thing to do. When you've committed a sin and when you've fallen, the sooner you come back to Jesus, the safer and the better you'll be. And there's not a sin you can commit and something you can fall into that if you come back to Jesus, he won't welcome you back with arms, open arms. He'll put his arms around you, begin to heal you, and you lead you to victory. I'm going to invite the music group who's going to sing a beautiful song for us, a special item. But as they come, I just want to tell you one short story as they're coming up. My dad was a missionary over in the South Pacific. He was the youth director of the old, what they used to call CPUM, based in Fiji. And he went to an island called American Samoa, which is a beautiful island. And he went to the church there and he saw a little old man, must have been 75, he said at the time, teaching kindergarten school. Which was Sabbath school, which was very unusual. You don't usually see old men teaching, nothing wrong with us old men, but we don't usually teach kindergarten Sabbath school. And Dad said, what's going on there? Oh, said the youth leader. Interesting story. We ran a mission last year in the prison in the main town here in American Samoa. He was in jail and he gave his heart to Jesus and now he's teaching kindergarten. I thought, oh, what did he do? Oh, said the youth director, that's a more interesting story. About 15 years ago, he was in a pub, and he got into a brawl, and he pulled out one of those big bush knives that they have over there, and as they walked out of the pub, he took this guy's head off, and he murdered him. Well, he was so violent, he was put in jail in American Samoa. They couldn't control him there, so violent, so out of control, they sent him to Hawaii. Well, he was up in Hawaii for a fair while. After a few years, they sent him back to American Samoa. He was the most violent, unpredictable, difficult prisoner they had. And then these young people from the local church in American Samoa went into the prison and they ran an outreach program. And that man gave his heart to Jesus. And then he was shown not only how to walk with Jesus day by day, but how to overcome the temptation which so easily besets him, which was his anger, his violent anger. And he went on that journey with Jesus. And it was so complete and it was so powerful that when my dad turned up, this 75-year-old man who was a violent murderer who could not be trusted with anybody was in the Sabbath school room with the kindergarten kids teaching Sabbath school. Hallelujah, amen. You go on this journey with Jesus, the journey is powerful, he will complete it with you, and you will, I guarantee you, I got it going in my life today, you will get the victory. Amen.
Years I spent in vanity and pride. crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary.
That's all right.
Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Fantastic stuff. We are serving a God of power. We have the power on our side, and He will give us the victory. We've just got to reach out and claim it and follow in the footsteps of our precious Jesus. I want Jesus to shine, don't you, in my life? I want to invite you to stand as we sing this final hymn together, this our worship program today. Shine, Jesus, shine. And as you sing it, make a commitment in your life to get up, step up, stand up and fight. And through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you will have the victory. This is a beautiful song.
Shining, Jesus, light of the
single temptation or sin invented by Satan in all the annals of wickedness and the history of the world that you cannot overcome through the power of Jesus and His Holy Spirit. You are a people destined for freedom, not enslavement. I'd like to invite you to bow your heads. I want to make a little call. If you've been caught like I have or am in sin and you've struggled to battle it, to get the victory and to win, and you would like, with every head bowed, and you would like to make a commitment to Jesus today through the Holy Spirit and His Word to fight, just put your hand up a little bit like that. See? Just for God to see. Lord Jesus, we are a poor people. Oh, I'm praying for myself here, Father. We are a broken people. Many times we are a failed people. Today, as we've opened your Bible and we've looked at this story of Jesus, may you have, through the Holy Spirit, encouraged us and now gently drive us, pull us and carry us, we pray, to victory. Victory over these sins that beset us, that we struggle with so much. Lord, give each person freedom, I pray. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the devil and peace in you is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
That's a long time, Hunty, for people to listen to me and then have to come back on the radio and hear some more.
It was great for me to hear that again. That was a good prayer.
What's that, about the 10th time you've heard that?
I've heard it a few.
I think you heard it. No, you might not.
I heard it live.
Were you there live?
Yeah, and then I cut it.
I thought you were back in your room sleeping.
No, listened to it live to make sure it broadcast, and then I cut it back a tiny bit, and then listened to it, and then put it up, and then listened to it. So that was three times, night.
You poor fella.
And then I heard it this morning, just double check that that's four, and just now it's five.
Oh, dear. Well, look, without further ado, let me just back up what I'm saying with our fight against temptation, because every single one of us struggles with temptation. It doesn't matter who you are. One of the problems I see with pastors is they will stand at the front and we'll preach, and it's almost like we've got all our lives together. But the reality is we're all tempted. Pastors, church workers, church people, secular people, doesn't matter who you are. If you're a human being, you've got blood running through your veins, you'll be tempted. Fair enough.
That's
so
true.
So look at this. I want to show you something just quickly because we've only got a few minutes here, Hunty.
Yep.
Romans chapter 7, verse 5 and 6. We've been here. I want to go back here and I want to just bring this home again. Romans 7, verse 5 and 6, where Paul is talking specifically on this subject. Just read verse 5.
When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death.
What that means is before you come to Jesus, you have sinful desires. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, it'll identify those sinful desires. But you practice them, and they lead to death. And that's where everybody is, Hunty. We have sinful desires. We don't know Jesus. We practice those desires. We sin, and it leads to death.
That's right.
Now read verse 6.
Sure. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power.
All that is saying is the law used to condemn you, man.
That's it.
We know that we've done wrong because the law tells us. Well, you're released now. Why are you released? Well, you're no longer captive, participating in that sin, that temptation, that failure, that weakness. You've given it up. Paul doesn't tell you how to give it up yet, but you've given it up. Go on.
Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the...
Jesus.
In Jesus, thank you.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what happened to that. Missed the word. I sent him the text and I missed the word.
As an SMS during the last message.
Yes, and I'm very sorry. You know why? Because when I first sent it to you, yeah, it never worked. It six, so I'll read it for you.
Thank you.
But now we have been released from the law, so the law's no longer condemn you. Why not? Because you're not sinning. For we've died to it, no longer captive to its power. So we've died to that sin, we've died to that temptation, and the law no longer has us by its power. It's not going to kill us. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Bang. Paul just told you how to overcome sin and temptation, even more powerfully and far more eloquently than I did in that sermon, by living in the Spirit. Now, that's not where this chapter ends, Hunter, because Paul then goes on to identify a problem. And I want you to look at this, Hunty. Read on, brother, with the text I sent you.
I don't really understand.
Where are you, by the way?
I'm Romans 7:15-17.
You love this, don't you?
Well, it's kind of me.
You're going to read 15-17 and 19-20. It's all of us before we meet Jesus, brother.
Got it.
Yep.
I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate.
Hey, Hunty.
Yes.
We've talked about this text between you and me.
We have.
Times.
And you gave me a great blessing last time we did this text.
This is the experience of everybody before they meet Jesus.
That's right.
There is intrinsically in everyone a desire to do right, to overcome, not to be beaten down by Satan, not to be defeated, to be a good person. I think we all desire to do it. And he says, I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. So if you're caught by sin, if you're caught in addiction, you can hate it. You can want to give it up. You don't. Even though you're trying, you don't. That's why a lot of people give up in sin. They go, oh, I can't defeat it. I'll just be it. And it becomes their identity. It's crazy. Verse 16, Hunty.
Here we go. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good.
So I know it's good. So the law, I know what I'm doing is wrong. So the law that is identifying it as bad is right. It's good. It's proper. When the law points at me and says, Lord, you're a sinner, it's right on the money.
That's it.
Yep.
So I'm not the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it.
We have a virus.
We have escape.
We have a virus. It's called sin. Yes. It lives inside of us. What do they call those things that attach to you? It's a
parasite.
It's a parasite.
Yeah.
And it's that sin that lives in us, that is a part of us, that's attached itself to us. That's why we do good, bad, not good. It's why we do bad when we want to do good. Verse 20.
Oh, verse 20, it's 19.
Oh, no, 19, sorry. Yeah.
I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway.
I bet that's the experience of most people listen to this radio station today. And then verse 20.
But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it.
So he's just saying, look, I want to do it right. I got sin. I can't control it. It's overcome me. I do what I don't want to do, which is bad. I'm in a real, real pickle. The last verse, basically, of this chapter, Paul says, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me.
I've got one more left. I've got 8:1-2 as well in Romans.
No, I'm not finished yet. Mate. That's the solution, brother.
Gotcha.
So people read this. How much longer have we got in this Bible study, Hunty?
4.5 minutes.
People read this, and guess what, Hunty?
What's that?
They stop at chapter 7.
Yep.
And they go, oh, well, that's my life.
Yep.
It's going to be okay because Paul just described my life. And they don't go on to the answer in chapter 8. He kind of intimates at it in chapter 7. I mean, verse 6, you want to read that again, Hunty, if you can find it there?
Yeah, sure. Verse 6, Romans 7, 6.
Yep.
But now we have been released from the law.
So he's intimating this release here. Yeah, go on.
For we died to it and are no longer captive of its power.
Yeah.
Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit.
So he gives you a clue there, but he doesn't unfold it completely, does he?
No.
He's saying, look, there is a way out of this. You don't have to stay where you are. But people stay in chapter 7 and don't go to chapter 8.
That's it.
And they go, oh, well, here I am, powerless. I can't overcome this sin. It's a part of me. Paul experienced the same thing. Ah, oh, well, why don't I just let it become my identity?
Mm.
And I see it all the time.
Same.
People take on the identity of the sin.
Yep.
And they say, that's who I was.
Yep.
Who I am. It's how I was born. It might be how you're born. You could be born with that weakness. It might be something that's got a hold of you, and you can call it your identity. But it's a, you can call it your identity, but you're not designed for it. You're not created for it. It's a parasite. Thanks for that word, Hunty. Mm-hmm. What does Paul say? Chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Go for it, Hunty.
So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you.
Don't you love that? There's no condemnation.
Yep.
So he starts off chapter 8 saying, hey, you're not condemned.
That's it.
You're living in Christ.
You belong to Christ Jesus.
You are not condemned. So that's where you can be right today. If you give your heart to Jesus, ask him to be your Savior. The first thing, he doesn't say, come and overcome that sin. He doesn't say, come and let me inside of you and I'll defeat this and crush it. He says, I want to tell you before you go any further, I don't condemn you. You want to know something, Auntie?
Yeah.
If God does not condemn you, no one does.
That's right.
The whole world can turn against you. That's okay. If God hasn't and he doesn't condemn you, you're okay. Start at verse 1 and read Ross straight through and I'll be quiet and then comment and finish this study.
So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death.
You love it?
Love it.
The power of the Holy Spirit is what will free you from habitual, addictive sin that you could never overcome. And how do you get the power of the Holy Spirit? What's our time, Hunty? We've got,
you got a minute and a half left.
Shall I go back to the old text I always read,
yes, please.
Or not? You know where I'm going?
I think so.
Where do you think? Oh, you can't remember.
The scorpion and the
Luke 11. Things. Yeah. Do you reckon I use this text more than any other, Hunty?
You have to. It's the perfect text.
Here it is.
Yes.
You fathers, said Jesus, if your children ask for a fish, do you give him a snake? If they ask for an egg, do you give him a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask for the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord Jesus, as Lord, I need the Holy Spirit. Please send him. Jesus will send him. And when he comes, he will talk to you. And when he talks to you, it's important you obey him, and that's where we fall down. We might talk about that next time, Hunty. Why do we fall down when we've got the Holy Spirit, he's talking to us? Why is it that we continue not to obey him and launch back into Romans 7?
Can I give it a plug for next week?
Yeah.
If you want to send your questions to the Aussie Pastor, you can. We've got a segment coming up soon called Ask the Aussie Pastor. If you want this explained in more detail or you've got more questions, you can get them to us one of two ways. You can text us on 0488 880 851, or you can email us. The email address is really simple to remember. It is theaussiepastor@gmail.com. We've got 15 seconds left, mate.
Let's go to the music, mate. Sting. And are right. You gotta, is there another song after this?
Yeah, we're going to go to
you
a song.
You can introduce
Sting first.
Yep.
You're listening to The Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
Okay, all right, this next song is by one of my favourite Christian singing groups of all time. They're called the Heritage Singers. This little bit that I grabbed for you this afternoon is out of their live concert, and it's entitled, You Gotta Do Right.
There's no need to standing up for the right. Yes, you're gonna stand up against the wrong. Tell me how you're gonna ever stop of being weak. Unless you make your mind up to be strong. Well, you got to do right, 'cause it won't be long.
You won't be long. Bow, bow, bow. Bow, bow, bow. Bow, bow, bow. Bow, bow, bow.
Well, let me tell you that it's easy
to hate your enemies, and it's just as easy to love your friends. And tell me you will have to love alike. The Bible tells you you got to let the love of God come in.
Well, you got to do right, 'cause it won't be long.
It won't be long.
Don't you want to love him better? Don't you want to love him more? Can't you hear the Savior knocking? He's a knocking at your door.
What don't you want to be?
Haste to meet your Maker before you got to deal with the Undertaker. He will take you right now
if you are willing. Don't you know the Bible is fulfilling?
Well, you got to do right, 'cause it won't be long.
It won't be long.
You got to do right.
You got to do right, whoa, whoa, live the life. You got to do right, whoa, whoa, live the life. You got to do right, whoa, whoa, live the life. You got to do right, whoa, whoa, live the life. You got to do right, Don't you wanna love him better? Don't you wanna love him more? Can't you hear the Savior knocking? He's a knocking at your door.
Don't you wanna be
pleased to meet your neighbor before you got to deal with the undertaker? He will take you right now if you are willing. Don't you know the Bible?
Well, you got to do right, 'cause it won't be long.
It won't be long.
You got to do right.
Well, you're right,
'cause it won't be long.
It won't be long.
You gotta do right, whoa, whoa, live the life. You got to do right, whoa, whoa, live the life.
You got to do right, whoa, whoa, live the life.
Well, I was yelling at you, Hunty, while that song was on.
That song gets going.
I was yelling at you. What's next? What's next?
Well, I pulled the curtain back and I waved, but you didn't see me.
You had your curtain back and you had your earphones. What do you call them?
We've got 8 minutes left and it's Ask the Aussie Pastor. Let me give it a quick plug again.
But you had your earphones on and there was no hearing.
I took one ear off and I pulled the curtain back and I was waving at you.
Is it Ask the Aussie Pastor?
Yeah, and you've got 8 minutes left. And let me give it one quick last plug. We would love to hear from you. We'd love your questions, 0488880851 or theaussiepastor@gmail.com. All right, first question. Let's get into it.
Okay.
This is a good one. Yeah. Thank you to the listener that sent this in. Do you believe the world is coming to an end? It's a two-part question.
We get that question a bit.
And is Jesus coming back soon? I don't remember seeing this before.
Maybe I just get that question in life.
Yep.
I've heard that question lots of times.
I know the answer to this one.
What do you believe?
Well, I know you believe Jesus is coming back soon.
I do, but I'm not, I'm not absolutely sure.
I'm 100% certain Jesus is coming back.
Yeah, in our lifetime?
No, I'm just said coming back. I don't know when.
Do you think in our lifetime?
That'd be nice.
Should we be saying that to people?
We should be telling people that if you want something bigger and better than this dump of an earth, get ready, because heaven is ahead. Whether it's now or after you're dead, it's still ahead.
Yeah, but should we be telling people Jesus is coming back soon?
Well, yes, because. And the reason I say yes, because, is I believe three things. I believe that I was created by a God who loves me. I believe he sent Jesus, his son, to die for me, to gracefully accept me and my sins into heaven. And I believe he gave the Bible as a roadmap for how to live my life. So, what does the Bible say? When you see earthquakes and world wars and all kinds of troubles hitting the earth, know that it's close.
But Jesus said, no one knows the hour when I will return.
He also said,
how do you come to grips with that? No one knows the hour when I return, and yet we preach Jesus coming soon. Because I belong to a church, I'm kind of glad I do too, that has been preaching Jesus is coming soon for 160 years.
He also says that Jesus will return like a thief in the night when you least expect it.
Do you reckon that if Jesus returned tomorrow, which we know he won't because things have yet to happen, but if he did, Do you reckon it's possible that we'd look back, say, when the Adventist Church started in 1863? Is that right? 1863? Yeah, it is. 1863 when our church started. Do you think we would look back and say 1863 was the end of time and Jesus was coming soon in context?
That's something I don't connect.
Okay, well, the world say the world's about 6,000 years old. Okay. And in 1863, we're in heaven, and we look back at 1863 when God launched this movement, and he's launched all these great Protestant movements, Methodist.
I'm with you now.
So do you think that we would look back and say, well, when our church was launched, it really was the end of time, even though it was 160, 70, 80, 200 years after? Do you think we'd say that or not?
I think I would because, you know.
Yeah, I would too.
We're a drop in the bucket of time, you and me.
Yeah, I think the last couple of hundred years of the world could be called the end of time, couldn't they? But then I have this sense that he's going to come in my time. And I think God puts that in your heart. Because Paul said that when he's talking about the second coming. And he says then in 1 Thessalonians 4, go and read, he says then we who remain and are alive. So who's expecting to be alive?
Yes.
But he died. We know he died. He was executed in Rome. Had his head lopped off. So he died. We may die, but I think this idea of the parousia, of the second coming being imminent inside of us, is created by God and put there for the Holy Spirit. And the bottom line is, at 60 years of age, Hunter, you and me, we ain't got that much longer on the planet anyway.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Our glass
so do I think he's coming soon? Yes. 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 Yes.
And I believe it too, because I believe what the Bible says when it's given us great predictions, like the one in Daniel.
But yeah, true.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Next question. Should Christians in China, Russia, North Korea speak up against their government? Whoa, that's a bit heavy.
Okay, if I was in North Korea and China, I'd be very, very careful.
Of course.
I'd share Jesus, but through the Holy Spirit.
Hey, can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
One of my trips to China in the early 2000s, I went to a church, and it was an Adventist church. And I met people who had been in jail for 20 or 30 years for owning a Bible that had gotten out. And boy, did I see some people who knew how to worship. Man, yeah. It changes your perspective when you've been in jail for your faith.
They sure do know how to worship, but would I speak up? No, not publicly, but I'd certainly be sharing Jesus on a one-to-one basis every chance I got, so I'd probably end up in prison.
Right.
In one of these. North Korea especially. I think there's a certain... I don't know much about China and how much freedom there is there. I know North Korea, if you talk Jesus, you're a dead man. Look, it's the same in some Islamic countries too. If you were to be sharing Jesus, talking Jesus, it'd be very dangerous. So it's not just North Korea. So would I speak up publicly? No. Would I speak up privately? Absolutely yes. Who knows? One day it might be like that in Australia, Hunty. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yep.
All right, next question.
How many minutes we got left?
We got 2:40.
Yep.
Let's see. How important is the seventh-day Sabbath to you personally?
Oh, very, very. Even if I wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist, I'd be a Sabbath keeper. Because the Sabbath is about Jesus and me. It's about rest. It's about him coming inside of me and healing me. I will never, ever give up the seventh-day Sabbath. And it's not a Seventh-day Adventist thing. It's a Lloyd and God thing, if that makes sense.
Have you ever had a challenge to your work life because you wanted to keep Sabbath?
Yeah, when I was a builder all the time. And I wasn't even walking with the Lord that much back then. And I'd just say, yeah, I'm not doing it.
Wow.
So I never worked Sabbath, even when I was way, way from the Lord. I don't know whether I used Sabbath for an excuse back then, but I didn't work it. Never, ever have I worked a Saturday, a Sabbath as a builder. Worked it many times as a pastor, but that's a bit different.
I'm sorry.
People argue it's not different. You know, but it is different because when we work on Sabbath, we're serving Jesus and bringing him.
I've always tried to uphold that, but I've slipped a couple of times on that one.
Okay.
Gotten in my car to drive to gigs while it's still Sabbath and get there and the sun's not set and then...
Jesus forgives you.
I know, right? All right. Yeah. We've got 1.5 minutes left. Let's go.
How many questions?
We got at least one.
Okay.
Can I be a Christian and not go to church?
You can be a nominal Christian and not go to church, but if you're a born-again Christian, if you have the Holy Spirit in you like we're talking today, man, oh man, I tell you what, Hunty, You are going to be at church with bells on. You'll be the first one there. You'll be there before everybody else.
I am the first one there.
Yep, you'll be waiting for the door to open. You can't wait. You'll be on fire. This idea that people who love Jesus and are on fire, full of the Holy Spirit, and I say this carefully, don't go to church. Man, that's just not true. And if you're not going to church and you're resentful to that and you're bitter towards it, whatever reason, you need to get on your knees, need to talk to Jesus. Let him come into your heart. Let his love overwhelm you and let him invite you to church, which he will, and then respond to the invitation. Church is for fellowship with other Christians. It's for fellowship with God. It's for God to recreate you, to heal you, and to get you ready to go back out there to fight in an anti-Christ world. So church and Sabbath, very, very important to me, Hunty.
All right, let me give a quick shout-out for our church. If you're in northwest Sydney this Saturday, 10 o'clock, go to our church. Sorry, we're not going to be there, but go to
good
our church.
Good preacher this week.
Who have we got?
Dwayne Hayora.
Yeah, we'll be good.
He'll preach the house down that boy. He's a builder, but he can preach. He's a lay preacher.
So where are we? 4 Samuel Place, Quakers Hill, behind the alley.
Yep.
All right, time for our last song. It's by Ann Wilson. It's called What a Beautiful Name.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, and now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great and your love was greater. What could separate us? And now, what a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Thank you.
So this song was sung by a lovely lady named Ann Wilson, and the first time she ever sang publicly was at her brother's funeral, and this was the song.
Oh, I know that story.
Huh.
We told it on here before.
I just got it from Lil.
I knew that story.
Thank you, Lil.
Did Lil like your music a lot better than mine?
I've got ticks of approval and thumbs up. Which I will encourage.
Hey?
Which I will encourage.
Hey, Hunty, as we go, how much longer till the show?
Yeah, 2 minutes until I play the closer.
I'm struggling to get it up here again. I just switched. Have you got someone you want to do a shout-out to, mate?
I do.
Because we're away from home.
We are.
You got a shout-out to anyone or no?
I'm just thinking it might be a bit private. Sorry.
What? You've got no one to shout out to?
Well, I was just thinking of a friend of mine who's going through
it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm going to give a shout-out to Liska.
Oh, good.
My wife.
Good.
My long-suffering wife at home by herself, managing the fort.
Travelling with you for the last week, I know how much she suffers.
Liska, I love you. Listeners. Liska, I love you. I miss you, and we'll be home as soon as we can. You got a shout-out for your missus?
I do. I wish I could tell her when that would be. But, yeah, love you, babe. Be home as soon as I can.
Well, we've been on the road since Thursday last week. I think we've done about 700 kilometres of 4,000.
No, more than 1,000. The car's got over 600 now.
No, but we've been swivelling around here and there and all over
the
place.
We have up and down.
So we go along the road and then we branch off and go down here and we go down there. And tomorrow we're supposed to be going from here, which is Hopetoun. Through to Esperance and up to Norseman. And just to give you an idea, we'll spend the night at Norseman, then we'll go from Norseman the next day across to Hunty's favourite place in Australia, Wave Rock.
Wave Rock.
And from Wave Rock, we're going to go up to Kalgoorlie. And from Kalgoorlie, we'll come back to Norseman across the Ceduna. Then we're going to go down that, God willing, that peninsula, that South Australian peninsula. And all the while we're making programs for our online viewers that we hope and pray will give you glimpses of Jesus and give you a chance to follow him.
Time for you to pray and we're done.
Thank you, Lord, for being with us today here in our tents out in the desert. Bless our listeners. Keep us safe on the road. And we look forward to meeting with you and our listeners again this time next week in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. My name's Lloyd Grolleman and I'm the Aussie pastor.
And my name's Hunty and I'm the tech. And you know what? We love you.
But Jesus loves you a whole heap more.
See you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for joining the Aussie Pastor. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to find out more about Jesus, our ministry, or ways to support us, go to aussiepastor.com.